You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Hour two on this Tuesday, Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show, former Jags offensive tackle, Hall of Fame finalist Tony Boselli will join us. He was on the radio call for Westwood One last night with the Lions and the Packers. I guess everything's good. Nothing to talk about with the Green Bay Packers this week, right? Until they go to San Francisco and play the 49ers next weekend. 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address, dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle at DP Show. Say good morning to our streaming partner, Peacock. By the way, Peacock original drama, Dan Brown, who gave us The Da Vinci Code, has a new book out, and it's a TV show, The Lost Symbol. Harvard symbologist Robert Langdon must solve a series of deadly puzzles to stop a global conspiracy. Stream every action-packed moment now. Peacock. Go to peacocktv.com to sign up. And you can go to the website. Make sure you go to the store and celebrate Paulie's birthday this week. Paulie won't, but he won't celebrate his birthday. Mm-hmm. Two T-shirts, $49, a Paulie special, that sale. Also, check out the limited edition tailgate package, a collaboration. We have a new partner, Sportique. Quality material, high quality stuff, super comfortable, plus a flask and a handwritten note from me. And we only made 200 of these available. So hurry, because it is going fast and limited number available. What's poll question we're going to go with, McLovin?
Okay, we have up, which is the biggest officiating problem? Mm-hmm. NFL taunting, targeting in college, or roughing the passer in the NFL? It's really close. NFL taunting, 42%. Targeting in college football, 35%.
All right, let's bring in Tony Boselli, who worked radio color for last night's game on Westwood One with the Lions and the Packers. Tony, thanks for joining us. Let me start with the taunting part of this. How much of it is just part of the game? And how much of this should we be getting or trying to get rid of?
Oh, I think it's part of the game. I mean, I think we've gone too far. I mean, I love the fact that we, you know, fans, media, everybody, you know, complains about players not caring enough. We want emotion and we want guys care, you know, getting after it and playing with their hair on fire. But then we want to draw this line that you can't celebrate or express yourself in a intense, physical, emotional game. Like, you can't have it both ways. And I think you have to let guys have a little bit of fun out there. That's part of it. I mean, Dan, growing up playing sports, if you're on the basketball court, you know, playing a pickup game, you're telling me there's no taunting out there. You go drop a three in someone's face, you're letting them know, you know, you get a big block. I mean, we were running our mouths the whole time. And I think the NFL, they're trying to stop it from going to the next level. And so maybe they're trying to get in front of it, but I think they're trying to get in front of it too early. And they've gone too far.
Do linemen talk trash?
Oh, yeah, but you can't. It's harder for them to tell because we're so close together that, you know, we're in the trenches. Things are said. Things are done. There's gamesmanship. I mean, think of some of the all-time greats. I mean, the one that comes, you know, top of mind is John Randall. You know, he's got his face painted up. He's, you know, chatting up the whole time. He used to go read the program and like the bios of guys and start running his mouth and, you know, talking, calling people out. And the problem with John was he could back it up. He'd be beating you up physically and mentally. He had the whole game.
I'm just wondering why now for the NFL. It feels like the NFL goes, hey, nobody's talking about this. Let's talk about this. They did this with what's a catch, what's a football move. Can the ground cause a fumble? I grew up at a time watching the NFL. I never worried about that, thought about that. Now you have all this instant replay now. They don't even get the calls right with instant replay. And now we're going to ask these officials, and you played this game, in a split second, try to tell us what intent is. Like, you meant to do something, whether you did or not, and that's going to be 15 yards. I just don't understand. They have so many other things to worry about.
Yeah, I must have missed like the national crisis of taunting going on in the NFL, where there was an outrage and op-eds being written and people like just protesting in the streets because NFL players were talking smack and getting in each other's faces. I agree with you, Dan. I think sometimes we just go too far. Like, I think the NFL has done a good job of trying to make the game as safe as possible, which is really a misnomer because football's never going to be safe. But let's take out the headshots. Let's take out leading with the helmet. Let's teach the game the right way. That makes sense. But some of these ancillary things they focus on, I think it's a distraction. I don't think the fans like it. I don't think the fans want it. The last thing you want is, because someone gets up and celebrates in someone else's face, you want that to impact or change the outcome of a game. Fans don't want that. Players don't want it. Coaches don't want it. I'm trying to understand who in the New York offices wants this. Like, what is, why, what made this such a important issue that we needed to address it?
He's Tony Boselli, former Jags offensive tackle, and he was on the call radio-wise for Westwood One last night, Detroit and Green Bay. I guess everything's all good with the Packers?
No, it's all fixed. I mean, just ignore what happened. It was almost like they forgot that we were playing 17 regular season games, and they thought that was the fourth preseason game against the Saints opening weekend. It was one of the worst performances. Forget about it being Aaron Rodgers and a team that you expect to challenge to go to the Super Bowl. I mean, it was just bad football. No emotion, opening day. Now, I still think they got some significant issues. Aaron Rodgers, by the way, is not one of them. I think that defense is does not have a lot of talent. I don't think they can rush the passer. No Za'Darius Smith, who's going to be out short term on IR because he's back. He's their best pass rusher. Preston Smith's a nice player, but they don't win up front. I know looking at that game last night that Joe Barry, the new defense coordinator, he can't just rush four and play coverage. And so they're going to have to figure out what they're going to do. And I think they're going to have to outscore people this year if they're going to really have a lot of success.
Yeah, I wondered about that. Can they do that? Because now you go to San Francisco this next week. So New Orleans, it's a nightmare. It's a crisis. Five-alarm fire. Then you beat the Lions, and you're favored by 11. You're supposed to beat them. Nothing happened last night where I went, oh, wow, look at the Packers. Now I want to know how you respond when you go to San Francisco. I think this game will tell me a whole lot more than the first two games of the season. What do you think about that for the Packers going out to San Francisco?
Well, Dan, I think you're right, because if you look at the game last night, I mean, into the third quarter, the Lions had moved the ball up and down the field. The Packers had not been able to really stop them. They're struggling against stopping the run. A bad fourth and one call by the Lions really changed that entire game. Either they kick a field goal there or they convert, and you know it's a back and forth game. Who knows what happens? They're going to go to San Francisco with a now. San Francisco's beat up in the backfield. They don't have a lot of running backs. I don't know who's going to be back there, but they have a great scheme. Kyle Shanahan is maybe one of the best running game coordinators in all the NFL, and they're going to go after him. And I think that this is a great test for the defense, and also they're playing a good front four. Nick Bosa is only going to get feeling better and better coming off that knee injury. I'm really interested, and I think you're dead on. This is the really this will be a good barometer to see what kind of Packers team we're going to see this year.
But also, Tampa Bay goes to the Rams as well. You're going to
Great. I mean, you talk about great games. Tampa Bay is probably the most interesting team to me. I think they're the best all around team because offense, defense, what they're able to do, and I'm. Dan, I've been sold whatever diet, what's it called?
Is he the ideal quarterback to block for?
I think so. I think for a left tackle, yeah, because he's so good in the pocket. And what I think gets lost is subtle movements help his offensive line. And so, you know, offensive line maybe gets beat a little bit in the inside. He just shuffles. And he doesn't sprint out of there causing trouble for everybody else. He just shuffles two or three steps, buys time. And finds, you know, the guy down the field. So he's one of the best ever. Now, there's extra pressure if you're playing offensive line and Tom Brady's back there because you got the one of the greatest of all time, if not the greatest. The last thing you want to be is the guy who gets him knocked around a little bit. But, yeah, he'd be a lot of fun to play for.
What's that like when the quarterback gets sacked and it's because of you? And do you go over and help the quarterback up or say nothing?
No, you want to help them up, but then you realize that you don't want to look up at the video board because you realize they're showing a replay. You're trying to ignore the defense because they're doing some sack dance. And you're just hoping, like, somehow that the guy who's shooting the game, the film guy for your team, like, lost that clip so you don't have to watch it tomorrow. It's one of the worst feelings in the entire world because you know that every bit of focus is on you. And it's not like – you know, you play another position, a defensive back or running back or receiver, where you can go make up for it the next play. Like, there's nothing I can do on the next play that says, oh, he redeemed himself. No, I just go block the guy and everyone forgets about it.
Did you ever face a defensive lineman and just say, this is it, maybe not overmatched, but I'm in trouble here today.
You know, the closest time ever was we were playing on a Sunday night, and we were good, but we weren't. And we were playing the Vikings, who were great, and John Randall, who I was talking about earlier, was playing defensive end, and we had our third string quarterback, and it went bad early, and I just realized immediately, like, this is not going to be a fun night. It's just gonna be one of those nights when you hope the clock goes really, really fast, because we don't have much of a chance to win this game, and it's a bad feeling. And there's nothing worse. There's nothing better. Unfortunately, this was most of my career. This is how I felt most of the career. When you're out there and you feel like you're in complete control and you can do anything you want, and you know you're just going to dominate the guy. What is very uncomfortable when you're on the edge and you just feel like, I don't know if I have an answer for the test. And you know you got to be out there. And a lot of it, you know, you can get exposed pretty quickly in the NFL.
You being a former Jag, I'm curious, how's morale with the Jacksonville Jaguars, Tony, after 2 weeks?
Well, you have to ask, what group of people? Are you talking fans, organization, or players? Because I think the fans are wringing their hands, because you sign, you know, you get Urban Meyer, you get Trevor Lawrence, and there was a buzz. And people were so excited this offseason, and camp, and everyone's talking about, you know, here's the new era. And you start the season, you lay an egg against Houston, who everyone thought was the worst team. And then you realize, well, we got blown out by them. And you look up down the schedule, and this was supposed to be the easy part of your schedule. You lose to the Broncos, you got Arizona, who's playing really good. Then you have to go on Thursday night. After that, you play seven straight teams with 10, you know, had 10 wins last year. So I think the fans are frustrated. It's a young team. Hopefully they don't know any better. And Urban will be able to keep them kind of on the same page. But it's going to be interesting, Dan. I mean, Urban Meyer hasn't been in this situation ever as a head coach. He's always dominated. He's always won. This is going to be a test for him and his leadership to keep these guys together.
Yeah, but you played at USC. You weren't used to losing. Then you go to Jacksonville, and then you're kind of like, man, I've lost more games in a month than I lost in a season or two seasons.
Yeah, as a player, I mean, the way my approach was, and I think a lot of guys are like this, it's kind of twofold. You want to win. That's the number one goal. And losing is just miserable. And try losing with Tom Coughlin as your head coach. I mean, that is like extra miserable. Like, that's like just prison. It's awful. But at the same time, I always realized, Dan, that I better go perform, because the last thing I wanted to do is, one, let my team down, but I didn't want to be embarrassed. And so there was a fear of not being able to perform at a high level that drove me, regardless of what was happening. And so I think if you want to be good, you want to have success in this league, you better take personal pride and ownership in what you do. And you hope that gets guys through the season.
Great to talk to you, and safe travels back home. Thanks for joining us as always, Tone.
Dan, thanks for having me at any time.
That's Tony Boselli, former Jaguars offensive tackle, and right now on the doorstep, hopefully, of the Hall of Fame. And he was on the call last night with the Lions and the Packers. You know, when you look at Dan Campbell, he's won a lot of press conferences this offseason. And his team plays hard for him, and you saw that last night. But all that enthusiasm and biting kneecaps, and that doesn't mean anything. It's fun. It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't translate to actual victories. Same could be said for Joe Judge with the Giants or Robert Saleh with the Jets. Promising coaches. The guys that want you to run through a wall for them. But you got to have the right players. Detroit needs to rebuild from the ground up. There are a lot of questions about the Giants. Robert Saleh's defense has shown some promise, but that offense isn't doing anything. And it's a key time for all of these coaches. All three need to build their own culture, get the kind of team that is really reflective of their personality. The problem is, owners, with the exception of the Cowboys, Jerry Jones, aren't very patient. And hopefully these owners look at the big picture and give these guys like Campbell and Judge and Saleh the opportunity to prove that they can be successful in the NFL. But it's a quick trigger NFL now with a coach, with an offensive coordinator, with a quarterback, all of that. Because there's so much at stake, and you're just going, okay, when's it going to happen for us? And then when you see another team that goes from worst to first, or they jump up and they're in the playoff picture, and you're going, wait, why are they doing it and we're not doing it? These billionaires don't have patience. And these college kids come into the NFL and we expect you to be good now. Like, we're surprised when you're not good when you're a rookie quarterback. Because, gosh, 8 months ago, you were a star in college. Why aren't you a star right now? I mean, Trevor Lawrence. Hey, come on. Where's the magic from Clemson? Well, he didn't bring all the talent from Clemson to Jacksonville. Justin Fields. Hey, come on. He didn't bring all the talent from Ohio State. Trey Lance is going to be successful. Zach Wilson, I don't know. Because I've seen quarterbacks get in bad situations, and they don't get out of it. Or if they do, there's battle scars. There's PTSD with them. And then they may go to another organization. I mean, maybe like Sam Darnold. Maybe it's going to work out. So far, pretty good start for him. But not all quarterbacks get that opportunity. Is Mitchell Trubisky going to be a starting quarterback again? Daniel Jones is going to have to go through this, perhaps, after this year. You have a certain group of quarterbacks where you go, I'm not giving you that next contract. Jameis Winston got a second shot because he was willing to take $1 million to be a backup quarterback. Mariota, backup quarterback. It seems like you either have stardom or you need to restart your career, reset your career. Let's take a break. You know, Ryan Tannehill did this with the Titans. Like, oh, no. And then all of a sudden, things start to look pretty good for Ryan Tannehill. It's coming up on 18 after the hour. We'll take a break back after this. Discover the Discover credit card, and what you discover is they match all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year automatically. There's no limit on how much you can earn, which is amazing, even more amazing because of all the places where Discover is accepted. Last count, 99% of the places in the United States that take credit cards take Discover. So when it comes to Discover, get used to hearing the word yes more often. Learn more at discover.com/yes. 2021 Nielsen report. Limitations apply. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. Aaron Rodgers passed for 255 yards, moving him past John Elway into 10th place on the all-time passing yards list. For each of Green Bay's last 5 regular season losses, Rodgers has followed up with 4 passing touchdowns and 0 interceptions in the next game. Can we check that stat, McLovin? The last 5 regular season losses, Rodgers has followed up by throwing 4 touchdown passes and no interceptions the next game. We'll see if we can get some of our best people on. That sounded like a stat of the day, Seton. You're asleep at the wheel over there. Thank
stat
you.
Stat of the day, stat of the day, dap, dap, stat of the day, stat of the day. Here comes that
what?
Stat of the day.
Pop. By the way, Sunday night, Aaron Rodgers and the Packers go to San Francisco to battle the 49ers. You know, NBC sends this out and they say the following. So Aaron Rodgers and the Packers go to San Francisco to battle George Kittle and the 49ers. No Garoppolo in there. Sunday, 7 Eastern on NBC and Peacock. Speaking of quarterbacks, Manning Night Football, as we have coined it. Peyton Manning was there with Eli last night. And Peyton brought up something that's been brought up before on this show, but he brought it up last night about the Patriots were cheating. They had bugged the visiting team's locker room.
Every time I played against New England, I used to go and talk to my receivers like in the shower in the far corner. I'm like, don't talk about a play next to my locker because I know it's bugged. I know it's got a hot mic in there. We're in the shower. Very strange to see 7 guys hanging out back there in the shower, but take all precautions out.
Okay. I don't know how serious he is, but I've talked to Tony Dungy about this. In fact, you go back to 2014 and Tony Dungy was the Colts coach. Prior to being the Colts coach, had this to say about it.
We had a few ex-Patriots that said you better be careful of what you do in the locker room and what you say and that kind of thing. So, yeah, and I think a lot of that is psychological warfare. You know, they want you to think certain things and worry about more about what's going on off the field and on the field. So some of it you really can't worry about. You just have to go out and play, and you know, there's that kind of thing everywhere.
But these are former Patriots telling you, Tony. So these
telling you, you better be careful. It said we get information, and it's hard to believe some of the stuff we get. So just be careful. And again, you don't know, you know, any of that is true. You just take your precautions, and not just with the Patriots, with anybody.
But you
take your precautions and you go.
Okay, if you thought that they were eavesdropping on you, how did you change when you were in New England with what you would say in the locker room as opposed to another, if you were in San Diego, let's say?
I think, you know, you just are extra careful. It wasn't that big of a deal, but psychologically, I think it did have an impact on you.
I'll bet the Patriots love this. But if you have former Patriots who were saying, hey, you know what? Be ready, be on your guard there when you get into the locker room. Yeah, Seton.
How can Tony Dungy be like, oh, yeah, we know that they had the locker rooms bugged and that they used to get all this information from us, but it wasn't that big of a deal, so we just moved on. Like, I'm sorry, you can't say those two things at the same time. You can't say that they bugged the locker room, but it wasn't really a big deal, so we just didn't worry about it.
Yeah, Paulie.
It's kind of like both Manning and Dungy don't really believe that they bugged the locker room, but they're not 100% sure, so they're taking some precautions. It's like almost like being not superstitious.
I think they believe it, but they want to give the impression that they don't believe it. It's sort of like a local folklore, but I think that they believe it. I do. Yeah. Yes, Todd.
You're being accused of cheating, but to me, that's like the ultimate compliment. You are so good at what you do, and you outcoach every other team that there must be no other explanation other than that you had our playbook or heard what we were talking about in the locker room.
Yeah, Seton.
This is all BS. Because Tony Dungy and Peyton Manning both look across the aisle at the Patriots and are like, if it wasn't for that team, we'd have 10 rings each.
Hell.
And the only way that they could have beaten us so badly, the two of us, is because they were cheating.
Well, what would happen if when the Patriots played in Indianapolis?
They were accused of cheating there.
Yeah.
That's what would happen.
Yeah.
The Patriots got accused of cheating there, too.
Wherever they went.
Everywhere they went. Oh, they only beat us this badly because they were cheating.
Yeah. The footballs. Yes, McClellan.
That reminds me, I saw this special that everyone thinks their Alexa or their digital device is spying on them.
Yeah.
Because your internet predicts exactly what you're going to shop for, et cetera.
Yeah.
And this professor explained, no, it's just your algorithms are so obvious the way you surf the web that they can push the right products. Nobody's spying on you. They just can predict what you're doing.
You don't think Alexa is spying on you?
I don't think so, because this professor said, no, they're not spying on you. You're so predictable by what you were looking for. You think it is?
I don't know. I've never met her. I don't know if she's trustworthy or not.
It's kind of like the Patriots. Yeah. She's the Patriots of digital devices.
Wow.
You don't think she's spying on you, but you're not 100% sure.
I'm not 100% sure.
But she's like Bill Belichick. She's just a great game planner.
Like, there are times when Alexa lights up a little bit with a yellow tint around it, and I'm not asking for anything. And it's almost like she's saying, can you speak up a little bit? I want to hear what you're saying. Yes, yeah, Seton.
Well, that's Siri, that little minx. She, whoa, all of a sudden, you'll just be hanging out having a conversation, and she'll just chime in, I'm sorry, I didn't get that. Like, yeah, because I wasn't talking to you, Siri. I wasn't talking to you. I'm sorry, I didn't get that. Yeah, it wasn't meant for you.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't trust Alexa.
Nah.
I can't. I mean, she might be the Patriots of devices there. Yeah. Okay, let's take a show of hands. Who thinks the Patriots bugged, not could have, bugged the visiting locker room? Nobody? Okay. The fact that I know that Peyton was serious about this, because I had conversations with Tony about this, and I just said, like, really? How could you do that? And then if the NFL ever found that out, like, the repercussions would be like jail time. It's not like we're going to suspend you or fine you or take away draft picks.
It's basically what Watergate was.
Yeah. I mean,
this is more important.
Yes. You're right. You imagine you're there in prison. Like, what are you in for? I bugged the Colts locker room. Excuse me? Yes, Paul.
A guy we know who appears on the show sometimes, he was a ball boy for a certain NBA team. And sometimes he would be assigned to the visitor's locker room. And when he would go back, sometimes assistant coaches would ask, is blank player getting taped up? Is he going to play? Is he not going to play? Can you see that? I wonder if the NFL, there's hometown clubhouse guys that go help in the visitor's locker room.
Oh, I wouldn't let anybody in.
They do in the NBA, though.
Oh, but I would not. Not
in the NFL.
No. I got my guys. We lock the locker room, and you're not allowed in. Like, put all the stuff outside, and we'll, you know, when you get room service, you just leave the towels outside, and I'll get them, and I'll bring them in.
I could see that little Steve Belichick. Remember the mullet he's got? I bet back when he was 17, he was a clubhouse guy hanging out in the Colts locker
room. How do you think he's rising through the ranks so quickly?
Yeah. Did he dress like somebody from Indianapolis? Is that maybe what he was doing? Yeah, just blend in. Just blend in. Just blend in there. They'll never suspect you.
Why some 17-year-old a mullet standing by my locker? You're Peyton Manning. You're going over plays.
Gigantic boom mic.
Yeah. Yeah. Holding a microphone. Yeah. Hey, can you? Hey, Peyton, can you speak up a little louder? My dad can't hear you. Yes, we love him.
But have we ever thought that baseball guys would have these like special cameras in center field and bang a garbage can? Crazy stuff happens. And Apple iWatches, weird stuff.
I know. But this is a little while ago. But do you think it's possible? Not that they did, but do you think it's possible? But I think Peyton, you know, it gets into your head that, okay, what would Belichick do? What would the Patriots do? And you start to hear like this espionage with what the Patriots would do. And now it's in your mind and you're thinking, because Peyton probably changed, you know, the different audibles a couple of different times. Like he probably would say out loud, hey, I'm going to say this and it means this, when he was probably then going, no, it's a different word. Yes, he.
It's that whole living rent-free in someone's head thing, huh?
Yes, it is.
Dang. 2021 still.
Yeah, and Peyton's not letting it go. Yeah, Paul.
The guys on the Manning Eli show, they have a good time there. They were discussing Manning's first game in Lambeau. He goes, yeah, it was terrible. He goes, my first snap, it was wet and cold, and the ball flew by my head. I got a safety. The guys in the back room queued it right up and had it ready. He goes, oh, that's great. And they're showing it. Eli's just crushing them. And Eli's like, Eli, I think, won two playoff games in Lambeau in the cold.
Yeah.
But, you know, they showed that too.
Yeah. Is the Lambeau leap taunting? Like, as long as I jump in and I face the crowd, the fans, but then they turn back. So I don't know that's how silly this is. Is that grandfathered in that, yes, that's taunting, but we're going to allow you to do it because it's great TV? That's what it feels like. Yeah, McLovin.
Yeah, it depends where you're looking when you leave. You got to avoid eye contact.
I love when the opposition tries to jump in and the fans, like, reject you like Dikembe Mutombo. Do the Lambeau leap there. Update the poll results.
Okay, what's the biggest problem with officiating? And targeting is slightly... I'm sorry, taunting has a slight lead over college football targeting. I don't think people like either of them.
By the way, Bill Murray turns 71 today. And Todd, do not reach out for Bill Murray.
I've been banned from trying
you have been banned. We do not try to contact Bill Murray. If Bill Murray contacts us... then great, but you are not allowed to reach out to Bill Murray. He emphatically told me one time, hey, tell your guy Fritz to stop calling me.
They didn't like that beeper or whatever weird way there was to get in touch with him.
Yeah. You had to call an 800 number.
So bizarre.
Yes. But Bill is so random anyway. I remember he showed up at the Hartford Airport, and I lived about 35 or 40 minutes away from the Hartford Airport at the time. And he calls the house phone, and he said, hey, it's Bill. Do you live close by? And I go, where are you? He goes, oh, I'm at Hartford Airport. I go, well, I'm about 40 minutes away. He goes, oh, okay. Yeah, I was just checking, see if you were nearby. I go, I can be. Like, it was just random. And then he said, no, don't worry about it. And then he hung up. So my wife goes, who's that? I go, Bill Murray. And she goes, what do you want? I said, he just wanted to know if I live nearby the Hartford Airport. That's it? And I go, yeah. That was it. And hung up. Yeah, Paul.
He does seem like one of those few people who could walk the earth penniless and have a place to sleep and something to eat every yes. night. He could have no wallet, no ID. Yeah. Cops not going to stop him. Cops are going to ask for pictures.
Yep.
And if he could walk, he walks into a restaurant, there's going to be a line to buy him drinks. And, you know, if he needs a place to stay, I actually think he showed up to a house once and just slept over.
Oh, he was, everything about Bill seemed random.
He should have a reality show. I know he wouldn't do it, but he should.
His life is a reality show. Yeah. It's just not on, it's not televised. Which Saturday Night Live alum would you want their career? So you got Bill Murray, Adam Sandler, Will Ferrell, Eddie Murphy, Chris Rock, Dan Aykroyd, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, Mike Myers. Do you put Robert Downey Jr. the third in there? I don't remember Robert Downey. I think he was there. Was he a one and doneer?
Yeah, he was the year with Anthony Michael Hall, and they were all, you know, doing stuff. They'll admit it. You see, you could read their.
Oh.
They're having some troubles off the field.
I thought everybody who worked at Saturday Night Live was having problems off the field.
So much so that they couldn't, you know, these guys were over the top.
It was always strange to be at 30 Rock because my dressing room for Football Night in America was the dressing room for the guest host every single week. And they, of course, would be there all week long, and then they would clear everything out on Sunday. And then I would go in, and occasionally you would find some things in there that, you know, the host probably was imbibing, indulging in. But you also hear the stories where, I mean, that's where everybody was when you go back to Belushi and Aykroyd, Bill Murray. And I remember somebody who worked on Saturday Night Live said that they used to hide their contraband in the panels, the ceiling panels. And then somebody accused somebody of stealing somebody's drugs, and, you know, that had gone into the panel. And what had happened is the person missed the, you know, went to the wrong panel and it, like, popped it open and looked in and didn't see what they expected to see. And it created this whole big controversy between the cast members. But back then, and they had, I think Belushi and Aykroyd bought a bar specifically to go to after Saturday Night Live. And then they would have an all-night party there. Who would I take out of that group? I'll give that some thought. We'll take a break and we'll come back. Your phone calls. Al Michaels will join us coming up next. Take a break. Back after this in the Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Happy birthday to Bill Murray, 71 years of age. We were just running down some of the movies. Chevy Chase didn't even make the list. Chevy was a big deal there for about like a 7 or 8 year window. He left Saturday Night Live, I think, after 1 year, and they started making movies. So Bill Murray, Adam Sandler, Will Ferrell, Eddie Murphy, Chris Rock, Dan Aykroyd, Robert Downey Jr., Julia Louis-Dreyfus, Mike Myers, Chevy Chase. Who would you pick? Paulie?
Believe it or not, I'm leaning a little bit towards Julia Louis-Dreyfus. Mm. She had Seinfeld, which is an ensemble, which is one of the most popular, biggest shows of all time. And she followed it up with, I think, a better show, Veep.
Yeah.
And she was the star, the focal point. I think that was on six seasons. Veep's awesome.
Plus, I think her family has, like, they're a billionaire.
Yeah, they're well off.
Yeah, I think so. She's got that going for her as well.
That's a contender.
Yeah. Seton?
Well, there's something to be said for, say, like Eddie Murphy and Chris Rock, right? Where they both had tremendous movie careers and also have some of the greatest stand-up specials in history.
Yeah.
Those are two careers that are pretty spectacular.
All right. So who are you picking?
Did we take Sandler off? He's off the list, right? He's got to be off the list.
Okay. I mean, we might be biased there.
I might take Chris Rock.
Chris Rock, all right. McLovin?
To me, it comes down to Will Ferrell and Bill Murray. Sandler off the list. Because I'd go Will Ferrell because everybody loves Will Ferrell.
Okay.
Murray's good, too.
But is Bill Murray on the list?
Yeah, he's on the list.
Okay. Oh. Okay.
I thought we were using this as a list other than Bill Murray. Bill Murray's had an unbelievable career.
Yeah, I mean.
Still good.
This is hard.
Todd?
I know his SNL days, he wasn't like considered like the biggest marquee name or whatever, but I'm going with Seton. His stand-up is so good. Chris Rock, it's hard for me not to pick Chris Rock's career.
Mm. Who had the biggest moment, though, out of all of these? Like, who was a worldwide sensation? Because Mike Myers had, you know, he had Austin Powers. Julia Louis-Dreyfus was great in two shows. Robert Downey Jr. is a big deal with Iron Man. Aykroyd had his window. Chris Rock, still doing it. Eddie Murphy was probably the biggest. You have a star and then you have a superstar. And then you have Eddie Murphy. It was a big deal, man. Farrell's still doing it. Murray's still doing it. Sandman's still doing it. And that's a pretty good list. Yes, Todd?
The other argument for Eddie Murphy is many consider him as being the person that saved Saturday Night Live.
I believe so.
After all these years, to be the person that they think saved it from being canceled, that's pretty huge.
And I think he was 18 or 19 at the time. And I just remember, he went from having a couple of skits to they wanted to make sure they had him in just about every skit. And remember Dick Ebersol, who was then part of NBC and one of the co-founders of Saturday Night Live. And he talked about that impact of Eddie Murphy. And it can't be undersold, just how great he was, or overstated, I should say. Yes.
Not that the rest of the people on this list haven't also done this to some degree, but Bill Murray and Adam Sandler really stand out to me because, one, sort of like Paul just said, Bill Murray could walk through life probably without an ounce, without a dollar to him and live comfortably for the rest of his life because he's so popular, everyone would just take care of him.
Okay.
Right? Mm-hmm. Adam Sandler, and I don't say this just because he's so generous with us and a friend of the show, but he's figured it out about as perfectly as you can. He makes a movie or two every year. He travels the world doing it. He brings all of his friends and family. He's taking care of everybody, and he's making lots of dough. I don't know what's better than that.
He's got a good life. Although you talk to him sometimes, he always acts miserable. But same with Will Ferrell. I mean, Will Ferrell's got his writing buddy, Adam McKay, and all of this is formulaic for some of these guys. I mean, Murray's always going to be in a quirky movie. Sandman knows exactly what his audience likes. Will Ferrell, same way. Robert Downey Jr., extremely talented. Mike Myers sort of disappeared, didn't he?
He's more of a recluse. He likes playing characters, but when he's interviewed, he's not funny. And I think it's on purpose. Like he's funny through characters. But if you see him on a talk show, he doesn't entertain. He discusses like topics.
Hmm. Nothing worse than a comedian who acts serious, you know? It's like, be funny, you know? Yeah, McLovin.
Then Dana Carvey sort of opted out of his career after a couple failures. I saw a special. He just tours once in a while and spends time with his family.
But I thought he had health issues.
Yeah, and he had health issues,
yeah.
Too.
Yeah. But yeah, Mike Myers did those Austin Powers. I don't know if he's done anything.
Shrek.
Oh, that's right.
Mike Myers and Eddie Murphy both have Shrek.
Oh, Shrek money.
That's big money.
Yeah, it is. Yes, it is. Yeah, Paul.
There's this great clip. I think it was the Oscars a few years ago, and Chris Rock was a presenter, and he was presenting Best Animated Short or whatever. And Chris comes up, he goes, I guess you're surprised to see me doing this category because I didn't understand anything about digital animation. He goes, then one day I got a call from a movie producer and said, hey, can you work for me for about 7 minutes for $1 million? He goes, I'm the biggest cartoon fan in the world. It was and Chris Rock does it 1,000 times better.
Rob in Charlotte joins us. Hey, Rob, what's going on in your mind?
Hey, good morning, Dan.
Hey, bud.
On the poll question, I would have said the terrible college rule, but I think taunting is definitely worse.
Okay.
And then I have a limerick for you titled An Ode to a Todd.
Oh.
And it's done with nothing but love.
Okay, here we go. This is Rob in Charlotte with a limerick to Todd Fritz.
His limericks are often quite lame. Mock headlines bring nothing but shame. He thinks they're witty. We think they're bleep. He should probably just give up the game.
Okay, that's an ode to Tom.
That was actually very well done.
Yeah, thank you.
Smooth in the number of syllables per line, rhymes and everything.
Not to be a stickler, but odes are meant to be sung. Like I don't know that an ode can actually be a limerick.
And just like Todd's, there was no laughter with his limerick, with his ode. Gordon in Washington. Hey, Gordon, what's on your mind?
Hey, gentlemen. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
You're talking about those microphones in the locker rooms. There's an old story way back, I think it's early 70s. The Chargers were playing the Raiders up in Oakland. The head coach was Harlan Sfari back then for the Chargers. And at halftime, he was in the locker room screaming at the shower head. And, Al, I know you're in there. I know you're listening to me. And at the end of the game, they went up to Al Davis and asked him that story. Did you have a microphone in the shower head? And Al's response was, it wasn't in the shower head.
Thank you, Gordon. Yeah, you just want to keep them thinking. You know, get in your own mind. And it feels like that's, you know, Peyton's probably going, God, how do we beat these guys? How do they know what we're doing? How does it happen? They must be doing something. They must be cheating. The fact that I don't think you can bring it up the way Peyton brought it up last night. That's a huge audience. And you might be joking. There's a little bit of truth in every bit of kidding. And that's where, you know, you get comfortable and you're just talking to Eli and, you know, you're kind of coloring outside the lines a little bit. And then all of a sudden you wake up the next day and it's like Peyton accuses the Patriots of bugging their locker room. This has been going on for 8 years, 9 years, 10 years where I've heard this. And he brought it back. That's one of those where if you're Peyton, just let it go because now you're going to be asked about it again. And then does somebody ask Belichick? I mean, you got to ask Belichick. Hey, Bill, did you hear Peyton? He said that you used to bug his locker. We used to bug him with pressure in the pocket. That's the only thing we bugged him. We would bug him by beating him every time we played him in a big game. That's how we bugged him. All right, Coach, thank you. Final hour coming up. Al Michaels will join us. One more item. We close out hour two. When Callaway launched their Apex irons, golfers finally got to experience the feel and precision of a player's iron with all the technology benefits of a distance iron. Callaway in 2021 is built on the legendary Apex franchise with the help of artificial intelligence. And what they do is they pair cutting-edge technology with classic forge craftsmanship. Callaway created the player's distance category, and now they've taken Apex performance to an extraordinary level. Apex 21 irons get a amazing combination. You get that tour feel, incredible distance, shot-making control, and a forged blade feel is in the player's iron for everyone. Callaway's Apex standard irons will fit a majority of swings. The Apex Pro is for the scratch single-digit guys. The brand-new Apex DCB, that's deep cavity back, means higher handicaps now of a forged iron that they can play and play with confidence. There's a lot of irons out there, but nothing delivers everything like Apex. Find out which Apex irons are right for you at Callaway Golf.com/Apex.